There are only two things Big Mike can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's favorite college football teams, and Clemson fans.
He's the kind of Gamecock that those taters just love to hate.
Big Mike was a Red Sox fan before it was cool, and he would walk through hell in a gasoline suit just to make fun of Derek Jeter. He is the greatest former Gamecock quarterback that you have never heard of. A legend in his own mind. It is Big Mike, and this is the Big Mike Podcast.
Yes, 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 this is the Big Mike Podcast, coming to you from the Big Mike Studios, and I am your host, Big Mike. And not only is this the Big Mike Podcast, it's the first ever episode of the Big Mike Podcast. History is being made, and you are here for it. This podcast is all about the Red Sox, the Gamecocks, making fun of Clemson, and making fun of those Yankees. But today, our first show, we're going to talk to Brad Cook. And Brad Cook is the PR person for Out of the Park Developments, which creates the greatest simulation baseball game in the history of mankind. That baseball game is called Out of the Park Baseball. I am taping this on Friday, March 13th. Out of the Park Baseball 16 comes out March 20th, a week from tonight. I can't wait. And if you follow me on my blogs and on Twitter, you will know I've had a decade-long addiction to this game. And how can I describe this game? This game is about taking over a Major League Baseball team of your choice, being with the GM, the manager, and you have full minor leagues, and it's just so realistic. If you're a baseball nerd like I am, it's the greatest thing in the world. My favorite thing to do is to go back in time and recreate history. You can go back to 1939 if you want to and take over the Red Sox and manage a young left fielder named Ted Williams if you want to. And of course, after the season's over, the rookies who came to Major League Baseball in real life in 1940 will then show up in this new world that you've created. So it's absolutely fascinating. If you want to play a single season replay, you want to go back to 1978 and manage the Red Sox and try to see if you can make them hold out the Yankees, you can do that. So it's the greatest game in the world, and fittingly, I'm going to have Brad Cook on the podcast here in a second. Before I do that, follow my blogs. Many of you have been loyal readers of my blogs. The Red Sox blog is thepeskypole.net. For my Gamecock fans on here, the Gamecock blog is thegarnetway.net. And a new blog is simulationsports.blogspot.com, which is for all the simulation sports and everything you need there. Then on Twitter, we just launched our new Twitter feed for the podcast, which means it has next to zero followers. So get on Twitter and go ahead and follow us at Big Mike Podcast and follow us on there. We're going to have some great podcast shows in the future. But for tonight, we have Brad Cook. I did this interview a week ago over the phone, and I have been battling this cold, cough, sore throat, you name it, I've had it. It started last week, right around the time I interviewed Brad. My voice is not the best. My voice right now isn't exactly what I call 100%, as I'm about to cough every 2 seconds as I record this. But bear with the interview. It does have some issues with my voice, but like Dustin Pedroia, we play injured and we get the job done. So with that being said, here is my interview with Brad Cook last week about Out of the Park 16 and everything else in general. and enjoy the interview. And as I tape this, it is Friday night. The Gamecock basketball team just lost to Georgia. Three nights, three games, and the Gamecocks just got too tired. But a good comeback season for the Gamecocks. It wasn't the season we had hoped for. It had some tough losses, some losses in which we should have won, but we didn't. But it ends on a decent note. I don't think they are NIT bound. They may play in the CBI tournament, but we'll find out later on here. But the future does look bright. PJ Dozier comes in next year. Chris Silva comes in next year. And hopefully Frank Martin can get the boys going. And next year we can be talking about Selection Sunday and dancing in March. But a tough loss tonight for the Gamecocks. They played well this week down there in the SEC tournament. So good job for them. So let's go on now to our interview with Brad Cook.
And now on the phone line with us, we have our first ever guest from the Big Mike podcast, which I think is pretty fitting, given my 10-year addiction to Out of the Park baseball. We have Brad Cook from Out of the Park Developments. Brad, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, and I'm here to start the intervention for your Out of the Park baseball addiction.
Well, I think it's way too late for that, way too late. Before we get to Out of the Park 16, which, trust me, I have a bunch of questions I jotted down here today. Before you came on, I was trying to kind of explain to the few who don't know what Out of the Park baseball is exactly, and I probably did a horrible job. So given you're the PR man, to the people who have never played Out of the Park baseball, never heard of it, how would you go about summing up the masterpiece that Marcus has created for us all?
Well, Out of the Park baseball lets you run any team you want from the past or present, as well as minor league teams. You pretty much get to step into the GM's shoes as well as the manager in the dugout. You trade players, sign free agents, draft prospects, you know, oversee your farm system, and call the shots from the dugout during games, you know, when to steal, when to pinch hit, things like that. And basically you just run a team. Just about everything that's available in real life is available in the game, the Rule 5 and draft, as well as the June draft. And, you know, expansion can happen in the game and rule changes can happen and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, it pretty much mirrors real life baseball as detailed a way as possible.
And I think one of the things, too, is that there are so many options in the game. It's almost like there's 25 games within the game that sometimes it's the hardest part for me is figuring out what do I want to do? What do I want to start? Do I want to go ahead and do just a replay season of a certain season? Do I want to start a career? What year would I start in? Do I want to have expansion? Do I want to have a draft? I mean, it's like so many options it gives you, that you kind of, you know, sit there and try to figure out what you want to do. And we're on, kind of interesting today, I was on the Facebook group of, I think it's called Baseball Sim Addicts, which is a really kind of cool group. And someone posted on the message board, you know, what's the best baseball simulation game? And, of course, out of the 40 responses, I think 38 were Out of the Park baseball. And I've actually looked around and tried to find a game that I liked more than Out of the Park baseball. I tried Stratomatic Baseball for the computer, all these games, and it always comes back to Out of the Park baseball. And one of the things I think is great about it is the community. If you pick up the game and buy the game here soon, go into the website and the community, all the great things that they have, the modders and they create uniforms and face gens and all these things that make the game just, you know, visually so much better. And but that being said, though, the big news is Out of the Park 16, which comes out soon, and the modders now won't have as much to do because of the big announcement it's not brand new news. It's pretty old news now. But for those who haven't heard, can you go ahead and share with us the big news for Out of the Park 16?
Yeah, so we've got a license now with Major League Baseball. So we've got all the league and team logos in the game, as well as all the minor leagues. So all the league and team logos for all the minor leagues, all the way down to short A and rookie ball. And then historical logos as well. So if you go back in time, if you want to take over the St. Louis Browns or you want to take over an old Phillies team, you'll have those logos from those years, and they'll change as you play forward through history. And then the mobile game, which is now called MLB Manager, will have the same licensing. So it has all the team logos as well as the historical ones.
Yeah, that's huge. And for someone like me, I think I first heard of Out of the Park Baseball. I want to say Out of the Park Baseball 4. And there was a friend of mine who actually was on Twitter, Adam Gould, look him up. He's the one that, you know, was kind of my drug dealer. And he had the game, I didn't, and he was playing. We're playing kind of an online league, and he would give me a link to the website, and I would send him my lineups and things like that. And that's how I first heard of the game. And I believe it was probably it must have been 03. That was the Red Sox, and the plan was to have this dynasty league. We played over and over again, and I made a trade where I traded a Pedro Martinez, who I thought was kind of getting up there a little bit, and he was starting to regress, and he was becoming a free agent, and I traded him for a young prospect named Jake Peavy, which I thought was a good deal, but the only problem was our league disbanded it the first year. So one of the lessons I learned was, you know, when you're playing in a league like that, make sure it kind of has a little more legs to it before you start trading away for prospects that you don't end up to get to use. But and I think Out of the Park 5 when I first bought the game, and I think my favorite version was Out of the Park 6.5, always more 6.5 coming out, thinking that was the perfection of the game. And of course, each year, you know, new things get added on to it and so forth. So, I mean, that's just the huge news. And in case those do not know, that the guy who created the game, which I think is fascinating, is from Germany, born in Germany, lives in Germany, and he created the greatest baseball simulation game ever in my mind. I think it's pretty odd that it took someone from Germany to create the best simulation of America's pastime. So there should be a wing for Marcus in the Hall of Fame one day, if they know. I think that's great. And I actually did an interview with Marcus last year, and I'll put that up on my website as well when we post this podcast. But last year I did an email interview with Marcus, kind of back and forth, and it's real fascinating to kind of see just different things to how we went about creating the game and those things there. So let me kind of go through a few questions for you about Out of the Park 16. First question, do we have a release date yet?
Yeah, we do. We just put it out on the forum today.
Okay.
So everyone who pre-ordered gets it on the 20th, and then it'll go out worldwide on March 23rd.
All right. And usually what I do when I get the game, the first thing I do is I simulate the upcoming season. I usually post it on my blog, so I always do that first to kind of see what happens there. And, of course, I'm waiting on the game to come out to do a brand new dynasty season for 1939, the Tennessee Williams Red Sox, his rookie year. Going forward, I'm going to have a blog about that, so that'll be on there too. But, okay, a few questions I have about the features here. The first thing is the main thing I saw, besides the big announcement of the logos and the license, was the new manager and coaching system in terms of the owner goals and the player goals and things of that nature. Can you kind of expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, so, you know, we've always had owners in the game, and you can be fired. You can turn that off if you want, but your manager can fire – your owner, I mean, can fire you if your team doesn't do well. And now your owner will give you goals. So he might say, you know, he wants your team to get, if you're struggling, if you're the Houston Astros, maybe he wants you to get back into the playoffs within a certain number of years, or he wants you to extend the contract of a certain player or acquire a certain kind of player or whatever, and he gives you a time frame for them. And as a GM now, you also have a contract extension, so your contract will actually expire. So instead of getting fired, you could also just simply not get your contract renewed if the owner is not happy with your performance and how you've been working toward those goals he's giving you. And then that kind of ties into the whole new managers and coaches system. You know, those guys have always been in the game, but now they've been given more personality, and they've got certain philosophies toward the game and kind of how they manage and their specific style. And some managers, you know, like in real life, are more hard-headed and more difficult to deal with. So if you're the GM of the team and you're dealing with the manager, he may insist on only handling certain parts of the strategy and things like that, and will actually not allow you to kind of override him in that way. And then also with pitching coaches and hitting coaches, they have certain philosophies. You know, some pitching coaches are better with power pitchers, or maybe they're better with finesse pitchers, and depending on who you hire, that may help your pitchers or may actually, you know, be more of a detriment to them. So it kind of, you know, does more to create that kind of living world that Out of the Park Baseball is all about.
And the cool thing is that it seems, you know, every year there's a suggestion thread on the main website that people put in for the next game. And, you know, people will put in there what they want to see for the next game. And it seems, you know, Marcus and his staff are really good about listening to their customers, their fan base, and really trying to get things in the game that they want. And each year there's always something a little bit different. I think that's really a cool concept. And, you know, I read the Terry Francona book a couple years ago about his time with the Red Sox, and it was fascinating to see just the relationship between him and Theo in terms of how they interacted each day. And, you know, how, you know, the times they didn't get along and the disagreements. And so it's pretty cool that's in the game now, because you can have that where, you know, that the GM is, you know, wants to, you know, maybe the lineup a certain way, the manager has a different kind of idea about it. And every game they would sit there and talk about what happened in the game, you know, and they had like a half hour rule that if they lost the game, Theo would give, you know, Tito a half hour to just unwind before he went in there and started talking to him about, you know, what happened. So I think it's pretty cool that game's going to try to capture that kind of that aspect of it too, which is pretty wild. A couple of things I'm excited about. The first thing is last year was the first year of the 3D ball flight ideas, and I use that a little bit. I'm a big webcast fan. I like playing my games in the webcast, and if you haven't played the game, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But the webcast is a diagram of the stadium, and it has kind of an animation of the ball, and I've always kind of liked that. But the new game, if I'm correct, is going to have all 30 major league stadiums of the 3D models, correct?
Yeah, those will all be in the game this year.
And I know the one screenshot they have on the website is of Yankee Stadium. It looks pretty good, man. It's Yankee Stadium. As everyone knows, I'm not a big fan of the Yankees, but it looks pretty wild. So I'm looking forward to trying that out and with the stadiums there and doing like a lot. And putting them out there, and that's one of the things too that the modders have created with all the stadiums in the past, different stadiums they picked up from, you know, video games that they could transport into the game. You could have the Polo Grounds and Ebbets Field and things like that. So it's always kind of cool to do that. So that'd be pretty wild. Other features I love to hear about is the rainouts. There'll be rainouts this year, which I think is pretty wild. That, you know, just the idea, you know, in the past you can be playing a game and there could be a rain delay and that could screw your pitcher up. Like I had a few times where I had a guy cruising along in the third inning and it was an hour rain delay and my pitcher was, you know, he was done for the day. He couldn't pitch anymore like in real life. You know, be a big rain delay, your pitcher is done, which is always pretty cool. But now you can actually have a rain out and have to reschedule things. So I think that's pretty cool. That's one of those things too that was suggested on the message board several times, and I see Marcus put that in, so it's pretty cool. The other thing I like too is the Hall of Fame voting. This year they're using more of the Bill James Jaws stats and the peak seasons and things like that, so that's going to be pretty cool too for all of us baseball nerds. What I wanted to ask you though, you know, I kind of brought this up before about all the options you have of playing it. And during, I know Marcus and the staff kind of researched this a little bit. How do most people play the game? What's the most common way that people play the game, as he found?
You know, most people tend to simulate the current season, or maybe, you know, a more recent one. Historical play is not big. It's kind of a minority. I mean, it's fairly popular, but it's kind of a minority of usage. I don't know the exact, you know, numbers, percentages, but most people pretty much, you know, load a standard, you know, modern game and kind of take control of their favorite team and run it. Not a lot of people, you know, unsurprisingly doing funky things as far as changing parameters or doing kind of oddball stuff like, you know, putting the DH in the National League right now. Or bringing the reserve clause back and, you know, taking away free agency today or that kind of thing, which you can do in the game, but most people don't mess around with that stuff too much.
Yeah, it's pretty cool though. When you start the game, like, for example, I like starting with the 1930s and 40s from the Red Sox. It's pretty wild that the game automatically sets up for you with that era's kind of rules. You have the reserve clause, and you can change it all, but it's pretty cool to kind of see how things are in terms of the rotation size and the pitcher endurance and just how the rosters are. A lot less pitchers and rosters. You know, nowadays you have the specialists and the lefty specialists and all the bullpen guys. And back then it was, you know, your worst pitchers in the bullpen. It was your starters went the whole way and the guys who couldn't start, you put in the bullpen. And so it's kind of different way of playing the game back then. It's kind of interesting to kind of, you learn baseball history a lot that way too, I think, for playing the game. Other big thing is playoff leaderboards, which has always been one of my big things. I always used to hate the fact that there was no playoff leaderboards for career. You know, that's in the game this year, which I'm looking forward to that. And what's the other thing I looked at? The rainouts, Hall of Fame process, is everything I found in there. But and this better. One thing is, listen, there's better playoff coverage. What do you mean by that? Enhanced coverage of the playoffs. Can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah, so there's a pennant chase screen that kind of gives you sort of a good snapshot of what's going on with the, you know, at the race for the final playoff spots, kind of the strength of the remaining schedule for each team that's in the running, and then kind of their percentage. There's even a percentage chance, or, you know, what the game estimates their percentage chances of winning those games. And it kind of it's kind of a more in-depth way of looking at it, kind of like, you know, on MLB Network or other networks you might see kind of a, you know, more in-depth look at the playoff race and kind of, you know, what could happen in the last, you know, few weeks of the season.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's just more immersion. Make you feel, you know, that's even more real than ever. I wanted to get to a guy we all know, Curt Schilling, for a second. Those who don't know, Curt Schilling, is he the most famous user of the game that we know, probably? Is he probably the most
Yeah, I assume you saw the interview we did with John Henry.
Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I'd say it's probably, you know, between Curt or John Henry as far as most famous fan of the game.
And the cool thing is, for those of us who are on the message boards on the website, is that Curt will post on there. He will post about his dynasties, and he really was doing it a lot. I know he's had some, you know, he had some health issues here lately, and now he's taking down some internet trolls, which is great, by the way. But he would be on there posting in detail about his dynasties. It was really great posts, and he really you know, is involved in the game, and he interacts with the people. I mean, it's really cool that he plays the game and he's really into it. So, you know, it's always kind of cool to see that happen. And speaking of Curt Schilling, and I want to kind of segue now to the Philadelphia Phillies. You're a big Phillies fan. And of course, I'm hoping we can kind of get Cole Hamels from you guys for next to nothing. But it seems like Ruben Amaro wants our two best prospects, so we're in holding pattern. But when I was a kid, I was a Red Sox fan since I was born, pretty much. But we had a close family friend. They were so close, we called them our aunts and uncles. They moved from upstate New York, where I grew up, to Mount Laurel, New Jersey. And we used to go visit them, and we'd go to Phillies games. This is back in the early 80s. And I think the first game I went to was the Phillies and Dodgers, like in 82. And then I went to the World Series, I went to Game 4 of 83, which was the game before they lost the final game, the Orioles in the final. Of course, you being a big Phillies fan, you were also at that World Series, correct?
Yeah, I was at game four of the NLCS that year when they beat the Dodgers to go to the World Series, and then I saw games three and four of the World Series, too.
So we were there. We were at game four together. We were somewhere in the stands together. The joke my dad said, I was 8 years old, which is my oldest stepson's age right now. And my dad joked to me all the time was, man, you have a rough life. You had to wait all the way to 8 years old to get your first World Series game because you were so deprived. You know, it was a joke. But, you know, I love those teams. And I never realized, looking back now, was how old that team was. I mean, Pete Rose was old. Joe Morgan was old. You know, you had Perez on there. I mean, Schmidt was in his prime. Just how old those guys were. You know, I just didn't realize that. But I used to love Gary Matthews because he hit a home run. His bat behind him, just let it go. And I used to emulate that in my backyard with a wiffle ball bat, like Gary Matthews home run thing. And then I like Mike Schmidt. And I'll never forget game four in the World Series, and Mike Schmidt was really struggling, and they were booing him. And I couldn't understand why the Philly fans were booing Mike Schmidt, their best player. And I'll never forget asking my dad, why are they booing him? And my dad just matter-of-factly looked down. He's playing like a bum. Just kind of matter-of-factly, I'll never forget that. And and of course, you know, this was my first kind of lesson of, you know, they really, home fans boo their own players. But he had a really bad World Series. And then, of course, Pete Rose, who my dad's favorite player besides Willie Mays, was Pete Rose. I remember watching him win on the first baseline, and he had that stance. And when the ball would come in, he would kind of shoot his head back, you know, when he took a pitch. And I asked my dad one time, you know, why does he do that for? My dad says he's daring the umpire to call a strike. You know, and he kind of had that look, like, you know, he had that look to him. And those were fun teams. And I'm actually right now playing a simulated 1981 season on my blog and trying to do 1981. It's one of the great things about the game, too, is that you can go back in time and replay a season like 1981, instead of having the player strike and the split season, you can play the full season, how it was meant to be played, and see what would happen. And so I'm doing that, and of course, particularly the Philadelphia Phillies, because even though it's not the 83 team, it's kind of the same. The core players are still there. They have Maddox on there, and Matthews, and Schmidt, and Rose, and Carlton. And so I'm going to try to take those Phillies and see if they can win it all. Of course, they're defending champions from 1980. So I'm doing that. So it's kind of a cool thing you can do on there. But hopefully I can bring the Phillies a championship and for 81 just for you, Brett.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you go here. I appreciate it again coming on the show. Anything you want to add before you leave about the game or, you know, any other details and before we get ready for the big launch of it coming out?
No, pretty much people have until March 19th to pre-order the game if they want to get it on the 20th and get it 3 days early as well as get that free Steam key. And then they will, otherwise they can buy it on the 23rd when it's available worldwide. And they can follow us on Twitter at OOTPBaseball or Facebook.com/OOTPBaseball.
And I will make sure I put links. I have links on my site too of Out of the Park Baseball. I'll tweet that out as well. So now I'll be tweeting about it a lot come March 20th. I'm sure I'll be locked away in my back office here, you know, trying it out. So I'm looking forward to that day. Brad, thanks again for coming on. Have a great night out there in California, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
And once again, thank you to Brad Cook for coming on and being part of our first ever podcast. The Out of the Park Baseball 16 comes out March 20th. I will have all kinds of articles and blog posts up on the pescypole.net and kind of going over my first reactions to the game. I'm planning on doing a quick 2015 season simulation, and I may even do a little screenshot presentation up on the blog as well. So look for that. Once again, follow us on Twitter at Big Mike Podcast. Next week, we're going to start talking some Red Sox baseball. I have an article up right now on the pescapole.net that uses Eric Carabel's fantasy projections, and I break down the AL East with those fantasy projections to kind of see where the Red Sox stand. And we're going to talk Red Sox baseball, probably going to have some good guests on as well to talk about the Red Sox and see just what the 2015 season may have in store for Red Sox Nation. So stay tuned with that. Thanks again for joining us on our first ever podcast. This has been the Big Mike Podcast. See ya.